Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Sex Cult Radio. Today I'm going to be talking about the power of sex language. A really cool, well, inspired by a really cool chapter in one of my new favorite books. I know I keep saying that I have a new favorite, but I don't like the concept of favorites anyway. So I'm going to use my new favorite book in the poly sense of the word. The book is called Sex Positive Social Work by S.J. Dodd. I'm a huge, 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 massive fan from what I've read thus far. I'm only very shortly into it, but there's a chapter that is really fascinating, or a subsection, I should say, called The Power of Language. So I thought that would be a fun topic to dive into today. But before we get into that, the first order of business: on the previous episode, there was a link to a fundraiser that I'm a massive fan of. I just came across it yesterday, to support the housing of Black trans women nationwide. It looks like they started in Florida and have since moved to Atlanta, New York City, Portland. It's seems really, really badass. It looks like they've raised about $500,000 so far. I will include that in the show notes. It's also in some of my bios on Instagram. I've been having a bit of problems with glitchy stuff, but you should be able to find it relatively easily in the show notes and on various parts of my platforms as well. So let's just get into it. The power of language. I thought this would be a really interesting thing to talk about, because specifically what this author highlights in this subsection is the way we talk about terms for the penis and the vagina, and how those things differ categorically. So they get split up into different sort of categories, and I'll just start reading it. Also, before I get into that, I'm going to read a little funny anecdote here. He says, "My students are diverse in group in terms of age, ethnicity, race, cultural heritage, language spoken, gender identity, sexual identity, and comfort with sexuality. So the lists of slang terms for penises and vaginas are always varied. Every year, I challenge the students to come up with a name that I have not already heard. They usually succeed." That's hilarious. I'm going to think of one to do every year too. That sounds like a fun exercise. And it's something that I'm constantly thinking about too. And not just penis and vagina specifically, but the sex acts related to them, or sex acts related to them that don't, or that aren't defined by gender. Like the term getting head or giving head still seems kind of, I don't know, it still feels kind of like it has a little bit of shame and stigma around it, but that's just me. But there are times where I'm talking about something, especially when it comes to a sex act, and the only vocabulary that I have is something that still feels kind of shamey, or it carries a bit of a stigma. And I thought that would be a really cool topic to think about today. Because I'm also imagining, if depending on what language you were born into or what your first language was, how that culture perceives that body part or whatever act you're doing probably impacts the way you perceive those sex acts or your sexuality in general, which is something that this author gets into. So that's probably a good time to take a break. And when we come back, oh man, I usually do this at the beginning of the episode, but when we come back, I'll do the sex worker shout out and we'll get into the power of sex language. Hello and welcome back to episode 25 of Sex Cult Radio. Today we're talking about the power of sex language. And before we get into that, the sex worker shout out is Tosh Hamilton. She is a sex worker I've been following from Australia. I usually get a bit hesitant to describe anyone as adorable, because not everyone resonates with that, but she's just this beautiful ray of sunshine, and she reminds me of like a real life anime, like waifu dream girl. She's just absolutely, absolutely brilliant, and has this amazing disposition. And she's constantly on social media, so you can find her relatively easily and you'll be able to see what I mean. She's just so lovely and wonderful. And something that I noticed about her work that I was keyed into by Celeste Sinclair. I think Celeste was the first person who showed me her profile. Was she is very transparent about her family life as well, and being a mom and having a husband. And she and her husband work together. Oh yeah, I should plug them too. Sakushi Studios. The two of them are a photography and videography team that I believe cater to creating content for sex workers. So I will include them in the show notes as well. But it's really cool and beautiful and refreshing to see someone who's really open and transparent about her family life, because not everyone has the privilege to do that or the interest in doing that either. So it's a really, really beautiful perspective and glimpse that we get into her life and her family life as well. All right, moving on to the meat of today's episode, the power of language. I'm going to read a little bit from my new favorite book on, I would call it sex work and social work, because there's a lot of overlaps between those two worlds, I think. But the book is called Sex Positive Social Work by S.J. Dodd. I will include links in the show notes. And I wanted to read a little bit from this little subsection here called The Power of Language. And specifically what he goes into here, or I shouldn't assume the gender, what this author goes into here is the differences in the way we talk about penises and vaginas. So here, I'll just start now. Words for the penis are somehow more accessible and less offensive, and they tend to be more upbeat and less derogatory. Often they're strong, powerful, active, and even glorifying. The main categories are often weapons, such as rod, shaft, sword, prick, pipe, and stick, including magic stick, meat stick, love stick, joystick, and disco stick. Kick-ass. He didn't write kick-ass, I'm just adding some notes. Foods, wiener, sausage, eggplant, banana, popsicle, cucumber, and lollipop. Euphemisms, junior, Johnson, little buddy, wee-wee, pee-pee, private part, and member. Names, dick, and serpents, snake, anaconda, or monsters and giants, one-eyed monster or one-eyed cyclops. There's also the glorifying term family jewels. These powerful and penetrative descriptors reflect the fact that the penis is widely acknowledged to be the most important sexual body part that has been socially constructed to be the actor in the sex act. Now let's go to read a little bit about the vaginas. Or actually, you know what? I should read this too, because I think this is an important thing to note. The privileging of a young, white, able-bodied, heterosexual male at the top of the social sexual hierarchy is an important phenomenon that social workers can acknowledge and help disrupt. And not just social workers, but sex workers too. If that's something that that we hear, or at the very least, it's something that we can be aware of and disrupt when we start seeing those things when we can. So let's read about the vaginas. Students tend to have a harder and less playful time coming up with names for the vagina. The names tend to mirror the virgin-whore dichotomy, with either very delicate terms such as flower, rose, rosebud, cherry pie, and donut, or very derogatory and offensive terms such as cunt, twat, snatch, pussy, and cum dumpster. Some terms refer to the vagina's appearance, odor, or color, smell, or lubrication, lips, fish taco, tuna, clam, roast beef, meat curtains, beaver, rug, keyhole, slot machine, slip and slide, wet, and velvet underground. I like velvet underground. I haven't heard that one before, but I kind of like that one. As with the penis, there are several culturally specific names for the vagina, including coochie, punani, puntang, poso, pusiore, I'm not sure how to pronounce that one, pum pum, and toto. And there are several euphemistic names, including no-no place, lol, hoo-ha, lady garden, and vajayjay. There are also clearly gendered messages about power and penetration when the names present the vagina as a receptacle, such as a box, love tunnel, and entrance. I think that's probably a good place to stop reading, because it's pretty clear, the power of language is pretty clear when you hear the terms for the way we describe the genitals of, I was going to say two different subsets of human beings, but I can't even say that. Just a different form of genitals. And even within the same gender assigned at birth, there are still massive variations between two penises and two vaginas. And I think it's pretty fascinating to think about how we describe and talk about both of those things. So that is all for us today at Sex Cult Radio. You probably heard Seamus Harvey in the background, working hard and getting things ready here at the Sanctuary. Thank you for joining us. And before I sign off, I should talk about myself and what we're doing. My name is Callie Rain. I am a sex worker at the Abyssian Union, which is a religious 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to the elevation of consciousness through sex and sexuality. And one way we do that is by celebrating the amazing, cool, badass, amazing work of not just sex workers, but social workers as well. So if you are able to contribute in any way, be it financially or just the power and privilege of your attention today, thank you. You can make a tax-deductible donation at abyssian.org, A-B-Y-S-S-I-A-N. Thank you so much for joining me today. Be kind to sex workers. Be kind to everyone. Hey, everyone. I know I said I was signing off. But I'm going to tag on to the back here to give a shout out to one of my new favorite tarot decks of all time. It's called the New Orleans Oracle Deck. So technically it's an oracle deck, not a tarot deck. Forgive my newness. I'm still relatively new to the world of tarot and oracles. But this is one of the coolest decks I've ever seen. It's gorgeous. It's so beautifully written. It's created by Fatima Mbouj. And you can find it probably online relatively easily. I'll include a link to an Amazon link in the show notes if I can find it. But if you are in New Orleans or just want a little bit of the spirit in your life, I recommend this one. It's incredible. It's called the New Orleans Oracle Deck. I post it on my Snapchat and various social media platforms all the time. All right, that's it. Thanks for hanging out.